Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've been talking about faith today. I'm talking about walking in faith tonight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by what? Faith. Not by what? Sight. That is very easy to read and very hard to live out, isn't it? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Number one tonight, discouragement should be a warning light coming on that we are not fully following this verse. I'll read that again. Long point. Number one, discouragement should be a warning light coming on that we are not fully following this verse. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I think there are a lot of Christians at this point in time, because of what's happened politically, that are very discouraged at this point. So we've got to remember, we need to walk by faith, not by sight. And where does faith come from? We looked this morning, but if you hold your place here, let's go to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. So if we're to walk by faith, not by sight, where are our eyes going to need to be? In the Bible. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. So if we're going to walk by faith, not by sight, our eyes need to really be in the scriptures, reading the word of God, because if our eyes are reading a bunch of news about what's going on, it's not going to be real encouraging at this point. So we need to be in the word of God. So are we following it, though? We read it, but do we follow it? Notice in James chapter 1, James chapter 1, James chapter 1, and verse 22, James 1 and verse 22. The Bible says, but be ye what? Doers of the word and not what? Hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, it's really hard, isn't it, when someone deceives us? Maybe someone sold you something and you thought, how could I be took like that? But it's really worse, isn't it, when we deceive ourselves? And so if we read the word of God, if we hear the word of God, but if we're not doers of it, we're deceiving our own selves. And the reason is because none of us can continue to go on in utter hypocrisy. And so we deceive ourselves. So we write ourselves out an excuse slip, what we don't want to follow. But we end up deceiving ourselves when we do that. Notice in Romans 12. So the question is, are we following the Bible? So when we get discouraged, it should be a warning light to us. Okay, now, I'm discouraged, so I'm not walking by faith, I'm walking by sight. I'm looking at what's going on around me, and so I need to get back in the Word. And you may say, well, I am in the Word. I read the Bible every day, and I know many of you are on a schedule to read through the Bible at least once a year. And that's good, and we need to keep doing that, but we also need to obey what we read, don't we? Amen. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto who? Unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, when we get discouraged, we're being conformed to this world. We're kind of being pressed into its mold instead of being transformed. There's many gadgets we have that require transformers that you can't plug directly into the full current. Whether it's your cell phone or it's got some little gadget on it or a laptop computer that's that black box that might be always in the way. But it needs some transformation. Something battery operated needs transforming to get it down to the right voltage instead of just the 110 or 120 that you plug into. We need to be transformed by God. And we get transformed by the Word of God, renewing our minds. And so when we find ourselves getting discouraged, it should be a warning light to us, okay, I'm not walking by faith how I need to. I'm beginning to walk by sight. I'm looking at what's going on around me, and that's why I'm kind of down and discouraged. So we need to get back into the Word, and maybe we are in the Word, and that's good, but we need to be looking for something, and that's the good thing, isn't it, about when we talk to other people about the Lord, then it makes us look for something when we read the Bible because we need answers. And so it keeps us looking, searching. Are we following the Bible? Well, Hebrews chapter 11. If so, there will be a sure reward for us one day. And so we shouldn't be down and discouraged. Hebrews 11:6. But without what? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So we're not an atheist, and we're not in that camp. We're not atheists. We believe that God is, but then it goes on, and that he is a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we feel that those tinges of discouragement, it should just be a warning light to us. Okay, now wait a minute. Why am I feeling down? Why am I feeling a little discouraged? Well, it's because I'm looking at what's going on around me or listening to what's going on around me in this world. And so I'm not really, 2 Corinthians 5:7, I'm not really walking by faith. I'm beginning to walk by sight. Because if I'm walking by faith, and where does faith come from? The Bible, the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So I need to, if I'm reading the Bible, I need to look and search for something. You know, the Word of God is like, sometimes you see maybe in sporting places, there's these climbing walls they have. And so people have to search for something to latch on to with their hands and their feet to climb the wall. Well, the Scripture is that to us. It's our handholds. It's our footholds getting through this life and the obstacles. So we need to set it down and before us that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we just need to mark that down. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 18. Proverbs 11:18. The Bible says the wicked worketh a deceitful work. Well, we know that. We can see that going on, that's for sure. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be what? A sure reward. You know what? When we get discouraged, because we're looking around, we fail to remember that there is a sure reward awaiting us when we follow the Word of God. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Our minds think about what we put into them. So we need to put into our hearts and minds the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. You know what? When we get discouraged, that's where we're wavering. We're wavering, being steadfast. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. So, you know, that's the answer, isn't it? Whether it's for our personal selves, our families, the church, or our nation, it's the work of the Lord that's going to make the difference. And that's what we need to center on. Of always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye what? Ye know that your labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord. So when we get discouraged, it's we're not really walking by faith. We're beginning to walk by sight, And then we get down. So listen, there is a sure reward when we serve the Lord. Our labor for the Lord is not in vain. Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I what? Come quickly, and my what? Reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, the answer is the Lord. The answer is yielding ourselves to Him and serving Him. It makes me think of there was the son of a Baptist preacher, and he ended up becoming the president of a university. And it wasn't this election, but maybe two or three before that. Anyway, he kind of got yoked up with a Mormon media personality, and someone asked him and said, you know, should you really be yoked up with this Mormon guy? And his answer was this: listen, there's no time to talk about doctrine. We've got to save America. Well, is America saved? No. And he's out of his job now. He's out of his job. A horrible thing came into his life, and he's out of a job. And listen, there's always time to talk about doctrine. There's always time to talk about God, because the only real hope for our nation is God. That's the only hope. And so we need Him. And so despite what is going on, we can't get discouraged. It's not a self-esteem thing. It's not that at all. It's us getting into the Word of God and not walking by sight, but by faith. And you know, when these times come, it is a good time. It's a good testing time for us, though, is it not? Look at Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. Lamentations comes right after Jeremiah because he's lamenting. He's called the weeping prophet. And the people wouldn't listen to him. He was called as a young man to be a prophet to Israel, and they would not listen. And so in Lamentations 3, verse 39, he says this: wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us what? Search and try what? Our ways, and turn again to the Lord. So, you know, sometimes we might get discouraged because, as I said, maybe we're reading our Bibles, but maybe we're not really obeying everything we're reading. And so it's a time when we need to ask, well, when we need to search our own ways here, it says in verse 40. But then in Jeremiah 17, back up in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, when it comes down to it, the moment we start searching, it won't take very long, and we'll be asking for help. Have you ever searched for anything and asked for help? You got tired of looking for it? Well, it's that way with us in our lives and our hearts. We need God's help in it. Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, you won't know that by this month, will you? I mean, there will be hearts all over. But the heart is actually desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I who? The Lord search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So we need to ask the Lord, Lord, please search my heart. I can't do it. Sometimes people lose things, maybe a ring, a watch, something like that, and they'll search for it, can't find it. And so they'll get someone with a metal detector to help them, and then they might be able to find it. Well, when it comes to searching our hearts, we need God's help, don't we? Because our hearts are deceitful. Notice in Psalm 139, Psalm 139. So when we face times of discouragement, You know, we can't just write it off and say, well, you know, I shouldn't be discouraged for this or that reason. It should be a time where we should have some testing time and say, Lord, search my heart. What is it? What's wrong? Psalm 139, verse 23. What's it say? Search me, O God, and know what? My heart, try me, and know what? My thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You notice here, David does not cry out and say, God, you know, I'm without fault, I'm without sin. No, he says, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, discouragement should be a warning light for us. Lord, I'm not, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5, I'm not obeying that. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So, if I'm down and discouraged, then I am not walking by faith. I'm walking by sight. I'm walking by the things around me. And so I need to get back in the Word. If I am in the Word, I need to pay more attention to the Word and what God is saying. You know, I guess you could call him the greatest prophet because Jesus said of this man, he was the greatest man born among women. So John the Baptist, you know what? The great John the Baptist got discouraged at one time. And why? Well, let's look at Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Why did John get discouraged? Well, we'll see here. John 11, verse 7. Or excuse me, Matthew 11, verse 7. Matthew 11, 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he, of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen what? A greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So this John was a great man of faith, and yet he got discouraged at a time. Look previous in this chapter. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in where? The prison. So John's in prison. When he heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? This right here tells us that John is discouraged because he knows better than what he's asking, but he's discouraged. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And that's when Jesus went on to say, Listen, this is a great man of God, John is. There's not a greater born among women. But he was discouraged. He was in prison. Why was he in prison? Well, go to Mark chapter 6. He was in prison not for any crime, but for simply stating the truth. Mark 6 and verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have who? The brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. And so Herod throws him in prison. So he's sitting there in prison, and he's been walking by faith. And you know, earlier he had walked by faith and was a very humble man. Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John was a humble man. He was not a worldly man. John chapter 3 and verse 25. John 3, 25. The Bible says here, Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must what? Increase, but I must what? Decrease. Have you ever seen at a wedding the best man all down and gloomy? I haven't. The best man rejoices in his friend, the bridegroom's wedding. He rejoices. And John here is just testifying, you know what? I know that now people are leaving from hearing my preaching and they're going to listen to Jesus. I know that Jesus is baptizing more people than I am now, even though it was his disciples doing it for him. But John knew all that, and he was not envious. He knew that's why he had come, to point people to Christ. And so he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. But what John didn't know that was ahead for him was this prison time. What he didn't know was that Jesus would be out ministering with multitudes around him, and he would now, the people, not all of his disciples had forsaken John the Baptist here because these two were coming to him in the prison. But for the most part, his disciples were gone because he's sitting in prison and he's just hearing about the multitude growing out there. And he's just a man. And he's, you know, it's like John was once out there preaching the word. John was once out there baptizing the multitudes. John was the one out there that people were asking questions of, you know, what shall I do, John? What shall I do, John? And he told them. And now, you know, these two guys come and talk to him. He's sitting in prison. He's hearing all the glorious things that are happening. And what did John start to do? Just what we easily do. We start looking through these eyes instead of by faith. And that's what was hitting John. You look at the chain reaction that John's words started in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 29. I mean, it's amazing how God used him. John 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said what? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away what? The sin of the world. And yet when he's sitting in prison, he's saying, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? He knew better than that. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the one we're looking for. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is what? He. What did John ask? What did he send his two disciples? Ask him if he's the one that should come, or do we look for another? He knew better than that. He said right here, the Spirit had told him that when you, the one you see the Spirit descending on, remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this, what? Is who? The Son of God. John, don't send your disciples saying, are you he that should come, or look we for another? You already know the answer to that. But what was the problem? He's just like us. We get discouraged. We may see all the excitement and different things happening, and we feel like John sitting in prison. Why? because of these eyes. We start looking through these eyes instead of the eyes of faith. And so, but anyway, the chain reaction that John set off here in John chapter 1, let's read down just a little further here, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith what? Behold the Lamb of God. Here it is again. John, you know who he is. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So that would be like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was who? Andrew. You know what? John just lost an Andrew. He just lost one of his disciples. But he's not discouraged at this point because that's why he was there. He was there to point people to Jesus. So Andrew goes. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Okay, so there's Andrew, now there's Peter. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth who? Philip. And saith unto him, what? Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth who? Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, what? Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. This guy just said what was on his mind. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. So I don't know what time Nathanael was under that fig tree. I don't know what he was doing under that fig tree, but I do know he thought no one saw him. And when Jesus said, I saw you under that fig tree, that was it. He knew this is the King of Israel. This is the Son of God. He knows all things. So, but what a chain reaction. John the Baptist, you know, points these two to Jesus. One of them is Andrew. And what a chain reaction is set off. People coming to Christ. But John the Baptist now is sitting in prison, and he's discouraged. So we need to remember that discouragement is a warning light for us. John knew who Jesus was. He didn't need a report back, really. He knew. He had testified of it many times. But discouragement should be a warning light that we've begun to walk by these eyes instead of by faith. And so it just needs to be a wake-up call to us when we get that down feeling. Listen, my problem is I need to get in the Word of God. I need to quit looking with these eyes. I need to quit listening with these ears to all the discouraging news. And I need to get into the good news. So that's what gospel means, is good news. And this is the book we need. If we never hear another bit of news, we need the good news, don't we? We need to hear the Word of God. We need to be reading the Word of God. So, number one was discouragement should be a warning to us that we're not fully following 2 Corinthians 5:7. And let's jump back there so you can see it once again. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what it says, but are we doing it? Number two. Compromise should be a warning light coming on that we are not fully following this verse. So the first thing is discouragement. Should be a warning to us. And the second thing is compromise, that we are not walking by faith, we are walking by sight. You know, King Solomon was a man greatly blessed of God, but he came to the point of great compromise in his life because he was not walking by faith, but by sight. If you notice in 1 Kings chapter 3, just a reminder to us how he came to be so blessed. In 1 Kings 3, in verse 5, 1 Kings 3, and verse 5, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Have you ever thought about what you would have asked in a dream? Have you ever had like crazy dreams? Well, this was a dream, and he actually asked for a very good thing. It was amazing. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am what? But a little child. I what? Know not how to go out or come in." Wouldn't it be wonderful to have politicians like Solomon here as the king? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have presidents and congressmen and senators and governors and all these people with this kind of humility? "Oh Lord, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Would you please guide me, Lord? Would you please give me wisdom?" And God greatly rewarded. Verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech, what? Pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." But here's the part Solomon failed on in verse 14. "And if thou wilt," what? "Walk in my ways, to keep my," what? "Statutes and my commandments." That's the word of God. "As thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. But Solomon went on to not walk by faith of the word of God, but to walk by these eyes. And God warned the kings not to multiply wives. Look in Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. And verse 15. Deuteronomy 17, 15. "Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply," what? "Horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply," what? "Wives to himself, that his heart," not what? "Turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold." Verse 18, "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of," what? "This law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall," what? "Read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them." Well, that is the issue where Solomon failed. He did multiply all these things to himself that he was told not to do. You look in 1 Kings chapter 10, 1 Kings chapter 10. And let's look at verse 21. 1 Kings 10, 21. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with a navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And then look in verse 26. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as what? Stones. So he multiplied wealth to himself. Verse 28, and Solomon had what? Horses brought out of Egypt. Just what God told the king not to do. And he did it anyway. And then in chapter 11, verse 1, 1 Kings 11, 1. But King Solomon loved what? Many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away what? Your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives, what? Turned away his heart. You know, if you divide it up with his 40-year reign and then with all of these wives, every 2.5 weeks he would have been, if you averaged it out, every 2.5 weeks he would have been taking a new wife. I mean, in the scripture, you talk about a Jewish wedding. Normally, the ceremony would last 7 days. So it's like, how much time does it take to plan a wedding? Well, we would say months. Can you imagine, on an average, taking a new wife every 2.5 weeks? It's like you're just getting over the honeymoon and you have a week and a half before you're getting married again. Well, that's what Solomon was doing on the average. Now, I don't know in real time exactly how he did it, but if you divide it out, that's what happens there. So it should have been a warning that he was told to stay in the Word of God. And obviously, there was a disconnect there somewhere because he did not obey it. And I just wonder how many people after Solomon compromised in their lives based upon his example. Why? Because people later on would come along and instead of walking by faith, they walked by sight. And they looked at Solomon, someone greatly blessed. Look at Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. So we have to be so careful in our lives as well. You know, we can come along and say, wow, you know, maybe we're not in prison, but maybe we're out of prison, but we're looking around and we're seeing, wow, somebody else is really blessed. And I am, as it were, sitting in prison. And why are they so blessed? Is it, am I just too strict on this thing? I mean, is it really wrong to have 1,000 wives? I mean, evidently God doesn't care because Solomon does, and look at how blessed he is. And see, that's the wrong attitude there, isn't it? Nehemiah 13, verse 23. Nehemiah 13, 23. In those days also I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not who? Solomon, king of Israel, what? Sinned by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even what? Even him did outlandish women cause to sin. So these people here, Nehemiah is bringing it up. Years and years later, listen, how can you justify what you're doing? Oh, yes, Solomon was greatly blessed but of God, but he sinned in doing those things. And so, you know, sometimes in life, instead of following the Word of God, we justify committing sin because we say, well, this person, who is obviously so blessed, is doing this matter, and it must be okay. Well, what is the bottom line there? The bottom line is we are all what? Sinners. And God only uses anyone because of his grace, not because of anyone's goodness. And so in our lives, we have to be careful we don't compromise. Because let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5:7. You know what? It's real easy to compromise if we're not careful. It says, for we walk by what? Faith. Where do we get faith? The Word of God, the Bible, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For we walk by faith. So that means we are walking by the Word of God, not by what? Sight. So are we? You know, our first point was discouragement. You know, when we are in discouragement, it's because we're not walking by faith. We're not walking by the Word, because there is a sure reward for following the Word of God. John has a sure reward, obviously. Jesus testified of him. There's not a greater born among women than John the Baptist. He had a sure reward. He didn't have to worry. Yes, he was sitting in prison. No, he did not know what was coming. He didn't know that shortly Herodias' daughter was going to dance a lustful dance and John would be beheaded. He didn't know that was coming. But you know what? John, when Jesus himself testifies, there's not a greater born among women. He has a tremendous reward in heaven. So if that discouragement hits us, we've just got to realize, you know what? I am not in the Word of God. I am walking by sight instead of by faith. I've got to get back in the Word of God. And the same thing. You know, you can look around, you can see great and marvelous things going on, but we can't follow people. We have to follow the Word of God. We can't answer everything. God only uses anybody, like I said, by His grace. But let's not get enamored with what we perceive as greatness if the Word of God is not being followed. For we walk by faith. That means we walk by the Word of God, not by sight. And so back to James chapter 1, we don't excuse sin. Just because someone is successful and not following the Word of God, that doesn't give us license to say, well, they're getting away with it, so it must not be that bad. If we're going to walk by faith, we've got to walk by the Word of God, despite what anyone else is doing. So may God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, we are in these bodies of flesh, and as we think about these two great men, we think about John the Baptist, and yet he got discouraged because he started focusing on what his physical eyes could see, and it made him down and discouraged. And then we think of Solomon, what a humble young man. What a marvelous request he gave when he was young. But he failed then to walk by faith. He began to walk by sight and to marry all these women, which I suppose he perceived beautiful. But he made a horrible mistake. And then he left that example to all of those who followed him. Even Nehemiah would have to bring it up. You can't follow Solomon's example because he was just a sinner. Lord, please help us. There's so many distractions in life, Lord. And please help us to be in your word. Help us to walk by faith. Help us to walk by the word of God, not by sight. Father, if there should be any here tonight who have never been saved, I pray tonight through eyes of faith they would see Jesus as the pure and precious Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, was buried and then rose again victorious from the grave, proving that his blood was enough to wash away our sins. Father, if there should be any here that are not saved tonight, help them to repent of their sin. Help them to turn from their sin to Jesus and ask him to save them, to cleanse them, to give them a new life, and then, oh, that desire to live for him. Father, please have your way in each of our hearts. We need your help, your power. We need to stay in your word. Please open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy word. Lord, help us. Help our hearts to burn within us as you open to us the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.